Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It's Day Player on 720 WGN. So once a vibrant part of American culture, drive-in movie theaters numbered nearly 5,000 across America during their peak in the mid-1900s. In a nation that loves cars and movies, why haven't they survived? It's a fascinating and fun documentary out there called Going Attractions, the definitive story of the American drive-in that examines the drive-in theater's role in American culture from its invention in 1933 through its peak in the late 1950s to its rapid decline in the 70s and 80s. Fueled by the recent resurgence of drive-ins, this nostalgic look at American culture, family, and entertainment tells a story of a changing nation and places the drive-in within the context of U.S. political, economic, and social changes. And joining us to talk about the classic theater venues of the drive-in is the producer, writer, and director of Going Attractions, and that is April Wright. Good evening to you, April.
Hi, how are you?
I am fabulous. What was behind your passion in making this film? I know you're from Chicago, so you must have frequented some of them here when you were growing up.
Yeah, absolutely. I live in Los Angeles now, and I grew up near Chicago. But it was a normal part of my childhood growing up. My mom always threw us in the back seat and took us to the drive-in. In high school, I went all the time, and I made a lot of friends go when I was in college, too. So it's just always, you know, if there was a choice to see a movie and you had a choice of going to the drive-in, that was always my preference. All the drive-ins that are left, the majority of them are doing really well. And I think there's a couple reasons for that. And one is basically it's come full circle. When they were popular to begin with, they were family attractions. And drive-ins are big, too. You know, you've got however many, places for cars, probably 300 on a small drive-in and over 1,000 on a large drive-in. And then you've got, you know, that times two and even more if you have kids. So you have to have movies like they're making nowadays, all these comic book movies, all the big animated movies. Draw those huge crowds that, you know, love, you know, going to the drive-in.
Well, part of the experience, too, is once you get there is, you know, there's so many things, the concession stand and everything. But the kids before the movie, they're playing football in the parking lot with other kids. There's a little playground there that the kids are playing at. Some people are grilling out there. I mean, tailgating, whatever it might be. So it's pretty cool. I was looking at the history of the drive-in in general, and I know sometime around 1915, they had these air dome theaters for silent films, you know, where people would bring folding chairs. It's almost like what we do in Chicago now with these movies in the park, but that's kind of one of the first experiences of watching a movie outdoors.
Yeah, people talk about that predating the drive-in. You could see an outdoor movie, silent movie. They did that in Europe a lot, too. Where there were outdoor auditoriums. There were also stories of during World War One and World War Two having the troops see movies in an outdoor experience. So there was always that element. But the thing with drive-ins really took off with the baby boom and the car culture and moving to the suburbs and all the things that happened after World War Two is what made it huge.
Well, and you define that in the movie, and I know that, you know, the first one in the history of this whole thing, the first official drive-in was the Camden that opened up in 1933. Richard Hollingshead was the guy that made that happen.
Mm-hmm. And I had the opportunity for my film to meet his son, who actually remembered his dad doing that. And theirs didn't stay open that long. His dad was in auto care business, so it was just something that kind of went hand in hand. But, he's credited with it. And then soon after he started it, a bunch of them sprung up. There were about 100 before World War II. But it was really after the wars when they took off like crazy.
And this was vacant farmland, you know, and I love, you know, you talk about a lot of the venue names in this movie. You know, they all had those just great names, the Starlight, the Moonlight, the Skyview was probably most common, wasn't it?
I think it's the Starlight was the most common. And, the Skyview was also very common. Midway was a common name if they were between cities. But then most of them were just named either after the city or off of the road they were on. So you have, you know, like a Route 39 drive-in and those kinds of names. Yeah. So that people would know where to find them, basically.
But what you really do is you really establish how indicative these and important these drive-ins were during the time that, that cars were cool. And, you know, that that was a – it was all tied into that experience because, first of all, cars were – heck of a lot bigger back then, so you could bring a lot of people and be very comfortable watching a movie, you know, even comparatively to today.
Yeah, and you had the not the bucket seats, but the what were those called?
The front seats, all the way across.
The bench seats.
Yeah,
you
with
had,
no seat belts.
You had bench seats, so it was easier to fit more people and just, you know, sit across it. Yeah, it was a little more comfortable. And today, if you go to drive-ins, a lot of people don't sit in the car. They bring lawn chairs or seats, and they sit outside, which is one of the changes that happens today. But that's because you don't have to have that speaker in your window anymore. It plays over the radio, so you can sit outside, and you can hear it inside the whole venue.
I'm a drive-in geek. I have to have the speaker in the car. It's very important.
Yeah.
It is. It's very
important. Well, a lot of them still have them and maintain them.
Well, we're talking to April Wright. Her documentary is called Going Attractions, the definitive story of the American drive-in movie. You can find it at Amazon Prime, Google Play, and more. And there's more when we come back on 720 WGN.
It's intermission. Rise and stretch time. Time to refresh yourself and visit our snack bar. Got a yen for hot popcorn? Your favorite soft drinks are sparkling cold. The juicy Frank sizzling hot. There's delicious coffee freshly brewed. And all kinds of ice cream and candy to tempt you. Showtime will be announced loud and clear to get you back to your car in time. So stretch your legs. Come to the snack bar now.
April, you know, I've got a couple texts that came in already. 815 says, we love the Golden Age Cinema in McHenry. During the fall, they have classic movies every weekend like E.T. and Jaws. And you can see the shows for under $10. You can bring your own snacks as well. 815, love going to the McHenry drive-in with my first boyfriend. Always felt like an adventure. 847, I grew up in Loves Park, Illinois during the late 50s and 60s. We lived two blocks from the River Lane Outdoor Theater. We used to sit in our front yard and watch the cartoons from the theater. It's pretty cool. People got a lot of memories about this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. When you think about it, you had drive-ins from 1933 and really up through the 80s. Pretty much anybody that grew up in the United States, it was just part of our common experience. Yeah. Everybody went to the drive-in. It didn't matter where you were from or what, you know, race or whatever you were, you know, economic status. Everybody went to the drive-in. And I think it's a little sad that we have so few left, and now you run into people that are just, you know, that will tell me, oh, I've never been to a drive-in, and that's just so sad to me.
Yeah, it is. No, it is. You know, we used to go to someone just texted 708, worked at the Harlem Irving Outdoor Theater in 66 and 67 when in high school. That's from Pat. I used to go to that one, I believe, when I was a kid, and then we went to the Twin on Milwaukee Avenue, and I remember doing that and bringing rafts from our cottage up in Wisconsin to put in the back of the Grand Torino station wagon and lay down and watch the movies from the back seat. But then I also remember going there in high school before they closed, and I think we saw Breakfast Club and then some throwback B horror movie. I think it was called Horror Express. I was trying to look it up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a horrible movie.
Drive-ins went through a phase where a lot of movies were not the best movies, but it didn't matter. It was still fun to go to the drive-in, but that was one of the key outlets for those types of films before cable, before VHS and all that. You would see those kinds of movies at the drive-in and have a great time.
Area code 920, within the last couple of years, went to the Highway 18 Theater in Jefferson, Wisconsin. Retro Fun 618, still go to the Skyview in Bellevue, opened in 1949. Great show,
yeah,
Dave.
Yeah, these are all good ones. I've been to all these.
Yeah, yeah. And it's sad to see the ones that are still sitting there but not operating. That's the one that bothers me the most when we're on the road.
Yeah.
217,
well,
Harvest Moon.
I cover a lot of that in the film. I cover a lot of that in the
you
film.
You do?
It's just, you know, I try to set it, you know, it's not just about the drive-ins themselves. It's all cultural. It's all about culture and economics and technology and all these things that play into it. And it is a little sad in the United States that we have this disposable culture. and that we are so economically driven sometimes that we'd rather, you know, put a Walmart where a drive-in used to be. And that's like our idea of progress. Yeah. And now I think a lot of people are starting to realize maybe that's not the best way to go. So I think we've got a lot of renewed interest in things like this. But for a while, those kinds of things were happening.
You know, and sound was a major part of this, and you break down so much of this in this film. And again, it's called Going Attractions, folks. And if it, I'm telling you, you will really enjoy this. This is such a throwback and such a really, you put it together so well and so nicely just in the interviews that you had and really the photos and the videos and so forth. Sound is a major part of that movie going experience. And I know it took from the first drive-in, like almost 15 years to actually perfect how they actually were going to project sound into the car.
Yes. So the really early drive-ins just had one or two giant speakers up in front, either on the screen or somewhere under the, coming from the screen level, just blasting at everybody.
Yeah.
And then a few of them had this underground kind of sound system where they came up through portals. I didn't cover that specifically in the movie because it was just one or two drive-ins that tried that approach. And then RCA eventually did that in-car speaker that became the standard. And that's pretty much what stayed all the way up to the early 80s when it shifted to the AM radio and today FM radio.
I bought a set of drive-in speakers years ago that's in my theater, and there's an adapter on it so I could plug, it's not Bluetooth, but I can plug in my iPhone to it and play stuff through the speakers,
cool.
Which is pretty cool. But in 1948, there was the Browns drive-in and fly-in, which you could also, it was parked next to an airport. And that's why I always thought about the twin drive-in and by the Palwaukee airport, that why didn't they position the screen so you could fly your plane in and watch the movies. But that's pretty cool. And then
there were a handful of fly-in drive-ins around the country. There were actually three or four of them.
And there was also, you know, it gets very buggy. And I noticed that when these little pick, bug repellents, used to light it and stick it on your dashboard, didn't you?
Yeah, they still have them.
Yeah, but I mean, you literally light it and stick it in your car, which is quite frightening. I have an original commercial. Let's play it.
Men, there's a drive-in movie full of juicy people. Wow! It's a trap! Help! It's Pick! We've had it, men!
A pleasant aroma for you, but not for mosquitoes. Pick is easy to use. Light it and forget it. Pick's aroma keeps mosquitoes, gnats, and sandflies away. Pick is the best protection for barbecues, fishing and camping trips, or just relaxing in the yard.
Or starting your car on fire. No, but it's interesting that they still sell those as well. You're absolutely right. So you travel the country pretty much in really search of all these fabulous drive-ins and the stories from the people that run them.
The film took me many years to make. I actually took multiple cross-country trips going little town to little town. I ended up going to every single state except Alaska. And I've been to over 500 drive-in locations, so including open drive-ins, abandoned drive-ins, former sites of drive-ins. Yeah, I've been all over.
That's phenomenal. That's pretty cool. What you can tell by the documentary itself is just it was just so entertaining. I just really enjoyed it. The intermission time, folks. That's something that, you know, when we go to the McHenry, that you can still see. In between, you can still see all these classic commercials, which is so cool that they play in the intermission time. And
most of those were made by a Chicago company. I don't know if you know that.
No.
The famous dancing hot dog and the countdown clock and let's all go to the lobby and the Pick one that you just played. All those were made by a company called Filmac, which is Chicago based.
Very cool.
And they still are making them today.
I love that.
Yeah,
that's very cool.
And they also sell the retro ones, too. It's like the third or fourth generation in the family now. But yeah, they're still doing it.
Here's a classic commercial that I found, a drive-in commercial for cigarettes. Let's take a listen.
Guess what? Guess what would taste good right now to everyone in the car?
Cigarettes? Here they are.
The favorite of young and old alike. We've got your favorite kind at the concession stand. Come on down and pick out the kinds you want to enjoy during the rest of the show.
Everybody in the car is going to love that, including the young ones.
which I find fascinating.
Well,
yeah, that's what it was back then. I mean, could you imagine, you know, rolling up the windows and watching the movie with just, it would be like a Cheech and Chong movie in that car, you know, with all the smoke.
But that was part of the thing of the drive-ins, and still is today, is I kind of say this in the film, that they are a product and an expression of freedom. And that was part of the thing, that you can go in your car and you can do whatever you want to, and you can smoke in your car and you can, you know, whatever. You have your own little space there, and that's part of what people enjoyed about it then and enjoy about it today.
708, I remember sneaking friends inside the trunk, of course. 847, late 60s, the Oasis in Des Plaines, which is now a motorhome park. If you remember that, I know you know which one that is. Yeah,
because the
sign is still there, which I absolutely love. And I only realized recently that that was a drive-in.
Yeah,
seriously. And then the Twin and 53 on Rand carried my this tradition with my kids into the 90s, bring them back. 847, I think it was called the 53 drive-in in Addison. Many drive-ins back then in the early days were open year-round. And they would give you like a portable heater to plug into the stand where you would grab the audio out of, and you'd stick this portable heater in your car, right?
Yeah. The heaters are really common, and a lot of drive-ins still have them today. There are a lot in warm states that are open year round. Like I'm in California, they're open year round. You know,
sure.
Texas, Florida, of course.
Sure.
Most of them are seasonal, but with all the good films coming out and the good crowds, a lot of drive-ins are stretching their season. So they're opening a little earlier, they're staying open a little later. Some are doing, like, you know, Halloween events and that kind of thing to extend the season. And some of them do still have those heaters that you can plug in and put in the car so you don't have to run the car engine.
Well, the best way to support your driving folks is to go, and if you haven't gone in a while, take the kids, take the grandkids, just go on a date by yourself. But it is a fabulous experience. The digital quality of the screens are fabulous. The sound is great, and the concessions are fun. It's just such a retro experience, and it's so much fun. So I encourage you to go.
Yeah.
And I also encourage you to go to Amazon.com or to what's your website again, April?
Yeah, if you just go to my website, it's goingattractions.com. You can either buy the film direct, or it tells all the ways that you can get it, either digital, iTunes, Amazon. It's everywhere. You can buy a DVD or you can stream it.
Yeah, it's Going Attractions, the definitive story of the American drive-in. Again, available wherever DVDs are sold. A lot of fun. Thank you so much, April, for spending some time with us and bringing back some fond memories.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. I'm glad you got so many great texts with people that remember their drive-ins.